Hallelujah. What's going on, beautiful people of God? Yes. I got quite a few pieces here. God gave me other stuff. I didn't get finished typing it, so I wrote it. And I got my phone because of one scripture. So, yeah. I can do this. Glory to God with the help of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Whew. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We just plead the blood of Jesus over tonight's service, Father God, and we thank you. All of you, Father, and none of me. I'm a willing, empty vessel. You fill me. You know what you want me to say to your people tonight that's physically here and the ones that's out in social media land and the ones that will listen to it later, Father God, use me. And Father, right now, we bind every scheme, every attack, every assignment that the enemy has sent to come against us, your people, this church, our families, anything that we love, that we're connected with, we curse and reverse that right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we lose your peace, your power, your provision, your protection, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. And devil, we're just here to serve you notice. You lose. You have lost. You are underneath our feet. And whatever this is that you're trying to put up on our church, hey, it is bind in the name of Jesus. And healing is loose in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So I'm going to be continuing on along the topic of righteousness. And I brought the book this time. And it's Jerry Savelle's book. Like I told y'all last time, it's a very thin book. But it's the fruits of righteousness. But it's a very thin book, but very powerful. A lot of good stuff in there. So I'm going to be bringing it out. And this is just the last two small chapters of the book. But the title that God gave me as I was reading those last couple of chapters was, and I thought he was going to change it, but he didn't this time. But he gave it to me last night, was motivated by righteousness. We need to be motivated by righteousness. So we're going to start with Philippians 1 and 11. Don't know what version this is. I think it's Amplified. I'm not 100% sure. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. May we always be filled with the fruit of his salvation, the righteous character. Glory to God. When we work righteousness or employ righteousness in our lives, it creates a sense of peace. A true sense of peace. It serves as a foundation, a moral fortitude, so to speak, and it cultivates great godly attributes in us, and it contributes to our personal lives, the harmony of it with society, but mainly with God. That quietness and assurance that follow from righteousness, it stems from a clear conscience and inherent confidence that accompany righteous living. And this is an effect, a change, because of an action we took to be righteous. We have to make up our mind to be righteous. We've already been declared righteous, justified. We have to make up our minds to take that on. That's what we have to do. Isaiah 32, verse 17 through 18. I got quite a few scriptures, but remember, we love scriptures. Isaiah 32, verses 17 and 18. The fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Its effects will be quietness and confidence forever, as I stated before. My people, and I love this part, and this is part of my prayer over my family, over my neighborhood, my people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. That should be something we confess over ourselves on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Yeah, you may have a security system. Somebody can hack it. But they can't hack God.
Amen.
Ain't got to worry about no hacking going on there. Our Facebook accounts, social media accounts get hacked way too many times. But they can't hack God. They can't hack that peace at all. We can't allow them to. The coming of Jesus signified a transformative moment in the relationship between humans and God. Because before, you know, they had to go to the priest, they went in a tent, they had to kill a few animals, shed some blood, and do this and do that. But then Jesus, hallelujah. Sin divided us. It created a division between us and God, between God's people, and it created a division. But Jesus, through his teachings, he unveiled a new covenant, replacing the old law. And there's a more intimate pathway that we can have with God, more direct relationship with God. And Jesus, he advocated for love, forgiveness, righteousness as the fundamental principles for maintaining a harmonious relationship with God. In contrast to the traditional religious outlook at the time, that's why the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all them seeds got upset with Jesus when he was going about preaching the word, because he was saying, yeah, they can get to know the Father through me. Yes, they can have healing through me. Because he was going around just speaking. Have y'all watched the movie, the series, or what have you, Chosen? The Chosen? Woo! If you haven't, you need to watch, and if you have, watch it again. Jesse and I, we're watching that now. And oh my gosh, yeah. But Jesus, he spoke to stuff, and it happened. He told demons, get out, and they got out. They exit stage right. They left because he was in a harmonious relationship with God. He was in right standings with God. That's why he could do that. But the religious leaders of that day, they didn't like it. They were upset. They were angry because they were by the law. The law says this. You cannot do that on the Sabbath. The law says. Jesus came to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill that. But they were upset. And we have those type of religious leaders today. How can I say this? They want to be the go-to person. They want to be the go-to person. I remember when I first got saved, I think I was 16, 17 years old, and the pastor at that time, he was just a religious leader, I'm just going to put it that way, said that me being single, a young girl, and my mom and my father, they were divorced at the time, that I could not pray to God directly, that I had to go through him. And he's single, crazy. Religious leader. And that's how those Pharisees, Sadducees, and all those other seeds, they wanted the people to come to them. They wanted that glory, so to speak. Just like Satan. You know, he was the minister of music. So when he walked, when he moved, it was music. And instead of him reflecting the glory of God, he wanted that glory. Instead of reflecting the glory of God, he wanted that glory. We can't put, I don't know where this comes from. We can't put ourselves in that position to want to be the glory, to get the glory that God deserves and needs, and he deserves it. We can't be that. We can reflect the glory of God by our walk, by our talk, how we treat people. When we say that we're Christ followers, but we're acting like Satan's homeboys. Pick a side. Is our relationship with God well balanced? Is it well proportioned, like Jesus? The Holy Spirit is here to help us and to guide us. Am I as much as into our Father God as Jesus was when he walked this earth? Because he was all into God. It was all about doing his Father's business. Are we in the family business? Are we working in the family business? Our Father God, with our big brother Jesus, are we working in the family business? Glory to God. John 17, verse 9 through 26. And this is, I think I got this in order. Well, if it ain't, y'all be all right. Y'all won't know any different. I'm just saying. If it's out of order, God did it that way. I normally number my pages, but I didn't this time. So John 17, verse 9, 26. And this is one of the prayers, I should say, that Jesus prayed to our Father God for us to be one with the Father as he, and it is so powerful. I never knew that this, what this, these scriptures was about. And this is a lot, but I think it's important to read it out, okay? Again, it's John 17, verses 9 through 26. I believe this is the Amplified version I'm reading from. My prayer is not for the world, but for those who have given me, but for those you, talking to God, have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now I am departing from the world. They are staying in this world, but I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united, so that they, us, will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that no one was lost except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. We need to get that revelation, Christians. We are passing through. This world is not our home. We are not of this world. We are about to be, we should be about our Father's business. Are we working the family business while we're here in this world? Glory to God. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. Jesus is praying this, y'all. He's praying this to God. He's talking to Father God. Do we pray like this for folks? Okay. Miss Jim do. We do pray. We are a praying church, and I'm just, you know, being funny up here. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so that they can be made holy by your truth. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be as one as we are. He's saying that so many times in the scripture, y'all. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world we know that you sent me, and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave, because you loved me even before the world began. Oh, righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. Go back and read it yourselves and break it down and ask God for some revelation on that. This is a powerful prayer that Jesus prayed over the disciples and us. To be one with the Father as he is one. For us to be one. Glory to God. Are we at peace with God and Jesus? Are we? Righteousness places us in this place of peace. Sin causes us to run and hide. Jesus and the Father were at peace with one another when he walked this earth. They were balanced. They were in harmony. There was no discord between them. This type of relationship is beyond really what man can imagine or conceive. But as Christ followers, it is available to us. The Christ followers today should be walking in this same type, this very same type of relationship with God. The same type of relationship in harmony with God. Ephesians 2, 13 through 19. I told you I had a lot of scriptures. But now, at this very moment in Christ Jesus, you who was once were far away from God have brought near by the blood of Jesus, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. For he himself is our peace and our bond of unity. He who made groups, Jews and Gentiles, into one body and broke down the barrier, the dividing wall of spiritual antagonism between us, by abolishing in his own crucified flesh the hostility caused by the law with his commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, therefore establishing peace. And that he might reconcile them both, Jew and Gentile, united in one body to God through the cross. Therefore, putting to death the hostility. And he came and he preached the good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away, and peace to those Jews who were near. For it is through him that we both have a direct approach in one spirit to the Father. So when you are no longer strangers and aliens, outsiders without rights of citizenship, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, God's people, and are members of God's household. We're in. Jesus paid the price. As long as we accept that and walk in righteousness, become righteousness, we're in. We are in. Peace is a harmonious relationship, proportion, and balance. It's balanced proportion of giving and receiving. God gives, and he receives our praises. He gives us so much. He gives us so much. It's an understanding and being understood. It's accepting and being accepted. That's what a balanced proportion relationship is all about. The realization of peace not only contributes to a personal relationship with God, but it maintains a balanced and harmonious relationship with God. And that's essential for Christians, for Christ followers. And I know I'm using Christ followers instead of Christians, because some folks call themselves Christians, but they ain't following Christ. And I'm just going to look down. I was one of those. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. But I wasn't truly following Christ. It's a difference. Glory to God. And let's see, let me get to the book. Get my little handy dandy note here. And just reading on this. Maintaining a balanced and harmonious relationship with God is essential. This involves being mindful of our actions, our words, our thoughts, and choices. Because it impacts our life. It all impacts our lives. And those are the different aspects of our lives. By aligning ourselves with God's will and seeking to live according to his teachings, we can nurture and strengthen our relationship with him, ensuring that we stay in sync with his divine guidance at all times. What happens when your Wi-Fi goes out of sync? You lose connection. You can't do anything. So if we lose connection with God, we can't do nothing. We can't do anything. We can't. We have to make sure our connection is strong. In Jerry Savelle's book, and I want to read this directly, he says, righteousness is a spiritual force that will work in you and cause you to think a new and better way. It will motivate you to victory. And that's where my title came from when I read that. I knew that was my title. Motivated by righteousness. Righteousness is a spiritual force that will work in you and cause you to think a new and better way. It will motivate you to victory. Glory to God. Sin tips the scale in the wrong direction from God. But then we are no longer balanced or in sync with Him. That's when we lose our Wi-Fi connection to Him. We don't have a connection. But God gave us Jesus as a way of escape through Him. As it states in 1 John 1:19, if we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, He is faithful and just, true to His own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us continually from all unrighteousness, which is our wrongdoing, doing everything not in conformity with His will and purpose. He will cleanse us continually. It's not a one-time thing. You know, we may fall every now and then. We may slip up every now and then, but we're not practicing sin. Like I taught last time, we're not practicing sin. We may slip up every now and then, but we're not practicing sin. We're not practicing to become better at it. Why you want to become better at sin? We're not practicing sin. But so that's why He's continually cleansing us from all unrighteousness. But we got to go to Him and confess. And sometimes we do stuff not knowing. That's when you say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, knowing and unknowingly. Confess it so He can continue to cleanse us. Peace is rest and contentment. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world you have tribulation and distress and suffering, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding. This peace is a direct reflection of our right standings with God. It's a direct reflection, too, of Jesus' right standings with God. Psalms 37:25. I have been young and now I'm old. The gray hair says that. Yet I have not seen the righteous, those in right standing with God, abandoned, or His descendants pleading for bread. As Christ followers, this is a scripture that we should stand and repeat often, and especially when we're going through something, as a reminder to ourselves and reminding God of His word. We can stand on this scripture as long as we are in good standings with God, balanced with Him. We have the Wi-Fi connection with God and with Jesus, through Jesus. As long as we have that connection, we are good to go. We can stand on these scriptures. We can truly stand. 1 John 4:4. Little children, believers, dear ones, sometimes we act like little children. Okay. We don't get our way. We throw a temper tantrum, even with God. Just saying. Little children, believers, dear ones, you are of God, and you belong to Him, and have already overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist. Because he who is in you is greater than he, Satan, the devil, the enemy, is in the world of a sinful mankind. Our God is bigger. Satan, some people want to put the devil, Satan, on the same level as God. He ain't nowhere near him. as they say, the kids say now, and young adults, whatever, God is the GOAT, greatest of all times. The enemy can't touch him. He is minute. The devil can't do what God does. He tries to mimic, try to create an illusion. He ain't God. He got his little homeboys with him that he's telling, hey, go here and go there or whatever. He ain't God. He's nothing. We make him bigger than what he is, but he is nothing. Our God is bigger. He is God, big G. He is God. Okay. Glory to God. Being in right standings with God brings that boldness and that confidence when we can go bold, when we, the word says, come boldly to the throne of grace. But if you ain't in right standings, if you're practicing sinning, you're going to be going with your head down. That's not bold. That's not bold. That's scared. That's not bold. We can go bold and come because the scriptures are not just mere words we repeat. It's not just something to say. It's not a cliche. Scriptures are not cliches, but it is truth to us. We believe, we must believe what we are saying. Just like with our tithes, it says, we believe and we receive. As I tithe and give offerings, I believe and I receive. So when we're speaking that, we're believing it and we receive it. Not that it may or may not have manifest at the time, but we're believing and receiving that it will manifest at the time. Healing is going to manifest. We may not see it at this moment in time, but healing, glory to God, healing is manifesting now. Glory to God. Glory to God. We can't be moved by what we see. Glory to God. But we got to believe what we are saying and not just say stuff. If you don't believe it, just hush. I want to say shut up. Just hush. Just hush. Because you're just saying words. We're just saying words just to hear ourselves talk. If you're not going to believe it, hush. Hush. Because in the scripture, when the disciples was trying to cast out that demon and they couldn't, and Jesus came like, what you doing? You've been with me. Why you can't do this? That's one of the terms. Why you can't do this? You know, and Jesus went there and then spoke to it. Get out. Authority. Yeah. Authority. We have that type of authority. But we have to believe that we have that type of authority. We have to believe that. We have to believe it. Do we believe what we are saying? Sometimes we got to speak it by faith. You know, the word, I think I've said this before, the world say fake it till you make it. Faith it till you make it, Christians. Faith it till you make it. Faith it till it manifests. Not fake it till you make it. Faith it. Faith it. Faith it. Glory to God. Let's see here. I may not even get through this, y'all. Want to read this from Jerry Savelle. He said, some time ago, God dealt with me, is just Jerry Savelle speaking, dealt with me about developing the force of righteousness in his spirit. He pointed out that I had been very diligent to develop the force of faith, but if I would turn my attention toward developing a righteousness consciousness and let the force of righteousness begin to motivate my life, then the force of faith will operate at a higher level than ever before. From that point on, I became diligent about developing righteousness in my life, and I no longer had any problems with faith. The force of righteousness. Glory to God. Am I going to get through to this? Mm-mm, I'm not. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, going to make, go make your request known to God, your specific request made known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which assures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus is yours. We sometimes go to God in prayer not being specific enough. And Ms. Jim really taught me on the petitions before God. Like you petition a court. The courts of this earth was made as a reflection of the courts of heaven, right, Ms. Jim? So when we petition the courts in this physical realm, we can petition the courts of heaven. Make your petition. And it's funny how he says that, calls out in particular, prayers and petition, our requests be made known. Be specific with God. Be specific. So you will really truly know how to pray. I got more. I want to end just by saying this. We need to be honest with ourselves regarding our standing with God, because it is truly a matter of life or death, heaven or hell, and we need to be honest with ourselves when we do that. And we do not have to allow the world or this enemy to beat us up anymore, y'all. We do not have to do that. In the scriptures, and I'm going to say this, and Juan, you can come on up. You're ending it. You can come on. Proverbs 10:3, it says, the Lord will not allow uncompromisingly righteous to famish. Don't compromise. We are the uncompromisingly righteous. That's who we are. Be motivated by righteousness. Don't practice sin. If you fall, get up, dust yourself off, ask God for forgiveness, and move on towards righteousness. We have already been declared righteous. We have already been justified. Be motivated by righteousness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that He has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of Him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, acionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.